The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. I'm Tom Bosley, welcoming you to the magical world of radio, where your imagination can take you anywhere you want to go. There's certain dreams that I guess everyone has at one time or another. For instance, the dream of finding a buried treasure. One of the most famous stories by a very famous short story writer, Edgar Allan Poe, is The Gold Bug, a favorite of treasure hunters young and old. Our adventure story, The Gold Bug, from the classic by Edgar Allan Poe, was adapted especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by Elizabeth Pennell. It stars James Debus. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Our story takes place on a sandy island near Charleston, South Carolina. It's a dangerous place to land a boat, so it's pretty much deserted, very narrow, and about 3 miles long. An amazing event which took place there is told by the writer Edgar Allan Poe through a person whom we'll call Johnny. Let him begin this extraordinary tale of adventure.
No answer, but I knew where they hid the key. And Mr. LeGrand had given me permission to go in whenever I wanted to use his library. They couldn't have gone far because they'd left a fire burning. The small cabin was very cozy, and I just settled down to read when...
Well, Johnny, what a pleasant surprise.
I hope you don't mind.
You know you're always welcome.
Hello, Johnny. Will you see what we found?
Yeah, why don't you cook up those marsh hens, Jupiter? Maybe we can persuade Johnny to stay for dinner.
Oh, I'm afraid not. I'm expected home.
Well, you can't go until I tell you about our big discovery.
I was just going to ask you about something in this book. I've been reading about the ancient Egyptians and their tombs. For instance, these scarabs.
Tell him, Mr. LeGrand. Tell him what we found.
How much do you know about scarabaeus, Johnny?
I'm just learning, Mr. LeGrand. The Egyptians used them as jewelry, didn't they?
Scarabs were symbols of everlasting life, and they were used as models for artists who carved them out of precious and semi-precious stones.
I think they look just like beetles.
That's exactly what they are. But beetles come in all sorts of shapes and sizes.
Nobody ever saw one so grand as the one we found today.
I'll admit it is a rare specimen.
You found a scarab? May I see it, Mr. LeGrand?
Well, coming back, we met that lieutenant from the fort, and I was so curious to know more about the beetle that I let him have it overnight so he could give me an opinion.
I knew you shouldn't have let him have it.
Well, then you can go down and get it back at sunrise. Oh, Johnny, it's the loveliest thing in creation. That beetle is the most brilliant metallic color, about the size of a big hickory nut, with two jet black spots at one end of the back and a longer one at the other end. But overall, brilliant. Bright. Bright.
He's a gold bug. Solid gold. Every bit. Underside and all. And I never felt so heavy a bug in my life.
Johnny, you'll just have to see him for yourself. Then you can help me look up things about him in some of those books.
Does he have those two long antennas sticking out in front of his head?
Of course, of course. Here, I'll draw you a picture if I can just find me a pen and some paper. This desk is a mess.
Well, maybe I have something in my pocket you can use.
Ah, that pen and ink here. With no scrap paper.
Afraid there's nothing in my pockets but sand.
Well, maybe in my pockets. What's this?
I reckon I could find you something better to write on than that.
It's a dirty piece of foolscap, but never mind. I think it'll do.
Is it all right if I stir up your fire? Looks as if it's going out.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Johnny. Go ahead. Now, let's see. If I were to draw this thing, the legs would be about like this, and the head...
I'll just put one more log and then you'll have a real good blaze.
Yeah, I think this sketch will give you an idea.
I knew something was missing. It's your dog. He's at the door.
I'll let him in, even if he is a nuisance. Hi, fella.
That dog. When he loves people, he really loves them. He's mighty glad to see you.
Oh, boy, hey, you'll push me into the fire.
Hey, Johnny, watch it.
Oh, it's all right. He's big, but I'm bigger than he is.
No, I mean the paper. I just drew that scarab for you, and you nearly burned it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me take a look.
Hey, you scorched the paper. Well, look at it carefully, Johnny. You won't see another that's so perfect.
Why, I never saw a beetle that looked like this.
Well, that's because you never saw a real beetle. Oh, I'm disappointed in you, Johnny. I hoped you were going to help me.
This isn't a picture of a beetle.
Oh, then tell me, young man, what do you see on that piece of paper?
I see a skull.
A skull?
This is the skull of a human head.
Who ever saw a human head with antennas?
Honestly, sir, this figure you've drawn, the holes for the eyes and nose, and the mouth that looks like it's grinning, there's no antenna.
My drawing can't be that bad. I think you're playing some sort of joke. Here, give me that paper. I'll throw it in the fire.
He started to crumple it up, but all of a sudden, his face changed color, and he sort of trembled and walked over to his desk where, without saying a word, he put away the drawing and locked the desk up tight. Mr. LeGrand, I really did see a skull.
It's all right, Johnny. Let's just forget the whole thing. And now, you better go home.
Why, Mr. Will, you haven't gone to bed. And it's already sunrise.
What are you doing up so early?
You told me to go after the gold bug.
Not now. The lieutenant won't be up for hours.
I didn't think he would, but you said to...
Forget what I said. We're going to get back my fortune and lots more besides. You and I have stumbled on something far more valuable than a gold bug.
I don't know what else it could be.
Neither did I. Until Johnny came along. But we're on our way to the treasure.
What treasure are you talking about?
The one that's buried on this island. The biggest treasure in the world. And we're going to find it.
But you'd better get some sleep.
I'm not sure I can ever sleep again. Not till I find it. The clues are all here. A five, and then a three. Why does anyone have to sleep?
I'll help you to bed, sir.
I stayed away from Mr. LeGrand, but I kept thinking about that drawing of his. It really was quite scary. Then one day, I answered the doorbell at our house. I'm coming! I'm coming!
I'm glad you're home, Johnny. Mr. LeGrand sent me, but I would come anyway.
Come in, Jupiter. I guess Mr. LeGrand's message is for my father.
No, it's you he wants. I think Mr. LeGrand is very sick. But he keeps saying, if it hadn't been for Johnny...
I hope he's not still mad because I said his drawing didn't look like a scarab.
No, no. I reckon he's in deliriums. All because of that evil bug.
I sure would like to get a look at that beetle.
You will, as soon as you come back with me.
I don't think Mr. LeGrand wants to see me again.
He most certainly does.
And you promise to show me the bug?
As long as you don't touch him.
Why not?
Because it was that gold bug made Mr. LeGrand sick.
How could a little bug do that to Mr. LeGrand?
He bit him. That's what.
When?
When we first found him.
Did you actually see him bite Mr. LeGrand?
I seen that devil first. All gold and scuttling. Mr. LeGrand grabbed him, but dropped him real quick. Only, I think, not quick enough before he give him a bite.
And now you say Mr. LeGrand has a fever? Well, shouldn't we get a doctor?
He won't hear of it. Sometimes he's red as a beet, and then he turns white, like a ghost. Mostly he just walks back and forth, talking numbers.
What kind of numbers?
Oh, crazy talk, like 5, 3, double cross.
Double cross?
Sounds like it. He sits at his desk all night, making funny scribbles and shouting, gold, gold, it's gonna be mine. Oh, he's very sick, Mr. Johnny.
I'd better tell my dad.
Mr. LeGrand don't want your daddy. I almost forgot. Here's the letter he sent you.
Dear Johnny, why have I not seen you for so long? I have something I must tell you, even though perhaps I should not share it with anyone at all. I have not been well for some days, but I'm much too excited about what's happened, and you have pointed the way. Please, come back with Jupiter. Tell your parents I have invited you to spend the night. Do come. It is of the highest importance. Ever yours, William LeGrand.
So, of course, I set off with Jupiter at once.
Many of Edgar Allan Poe's stories first appeared in magazines and newspapers and were continued from one issue to the next. Because they were all mysterious and exciting, you can imagine with what suspense readers waited for the next issue. No radio back in 1843, when the Gold Bug first appeared in a Philadelphia newspaper where it won a prize. You have only to wait a few minutes before I come back with the next developments in our story. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
Yeah.
Perhaps at last Johnny is going to get a look at that fabulous Gold Bug. Johnny doesn't know what to expect, since Jupiter keeps insisting that Mr. LeGrand is very ill. When they get to Mr. LeGrand's house, although it's a very warm day, the flames are leaping in the fireplace. And Mr. LeGrand is at his desk, which is cluttered with scribbled notes. Scraps of paper are everywhere.
Come in, Johnny. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Mr. LeGrand, I want to see the beetle.
Later, Johnny, later. First, take another look at the drawing I made for it.
But this isn't the one you showed me before.
Indeed it is.
Well, the paper looks the same.
Johnny's right. It's the very same old piece of paper you showed him before.
You don't know much, neither one of you. It's not paper at all. It's parchment. You nearly dropped it in the fire, and parchment can change when it's heated. Here, watch this.
You'll burn yourself, Mr. Will.
It's changing. See? See, there's the skull.
You're right. The skull in one corner, and look what's over here.
Why, that looks like a picture of an old billy goat.
You've almost got it.
That's like magic. One time I had some paper that when you rubbed it...
Can't you guess who this parchment belonged to?
It looks very old.
Think about it. If you had some writing paper and you wanted to show folks what your business was, you'd...
You mean like my dad's letterhead?
Exactly. Now think about it. Who'd have a skull on his letterhead?
A doctor, maybe?
No, no, not a doctor.
If there were some crossbones, I'd say it was a pirate.
Bright boy. And over here's his name.
I told you that's nothing but an old billy goat.
It's a kid.
You don't mean Captain Kidd.
That's exactly who I mean. This parchment is a message from Captain Kidd. Here, I'll show you some more magic. We'll put the parchment in this water, like this.
Why, it looks like writing. And it's red, like blood.
Cobalt dissolved in the spirit of nitre. Now watch what happens when I hold the parchment up to the fire.
All those numbers. All the numbers and letters come through. What do they mean?
It's a cryptogram. A secret message. Look at it.
5, 3, 2 crosses, then a single cross, and another 3. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me.
But it will when we find the gold.
Mr. Will, we already found the gold. It's right here in this box. The Gold Bug.
Oh, boy, isn't it a beauty? May I pick it up?
Oh, go right ahead.
Careful. It bites.
Oh, Jupiter, stop it. You killed that bug a long time ago. Go ahead, Johnny, pick it up.
Sure is heavy. I didn't know a dead beetle could feel like a rock.
I tell you, it's solid gold. And you don't need any crypto or whatever it is to tell you that.
But I don't understand what this paper... parchment... has to do with the Gold Bug.
It all began on that last day you came to see us. Early in the morning, Jupiter and I went out to dig clams. Lowest tide I ever saw. Hey, Jupe! Look at this!
Got something more interesting over here. Come quickly, Mr. LeGrand. Oh, you've never seen anything like this.
Why, that's nothing but a beetle. I found...
It's a gold beetle, Mr. Will. Look at the way he shines.
Ah, unusual specimen, all right. We'll take it home for a better look. Here, I'll catch it.
Be careful, Mr. Will. That mean bug has an enormous mouth and claws. I poked him with a stick, and he kicks and bites everything comes near him.
I'll get him.
Yeah, I know you. He has big pinches. Let him go.
I couldn't hold him, but he's worth catching. Here, put him in your clam bag.
I left it back there, and I dastn't pick him up or he'll bite me, too.
Well, there must be something we can put him in. I'll keep him from running away if you can get the
clam. There's no piece of paper over here. So the birds are Sam. Maybe I can wrap him in this.
That's it.
He's a fighter, but this paper's mighty tough. I'll stick an end of it in his mouth.
Good thinking. Now wrap him up tight and put him in your clam bag.
We'd best be getting home, or we'll be caught on this spit of sand.
So that was it, Johnny. Later, I unwrapped the beetle and got excited about it. And when I left it at the fort, I stuffed what I thought was a piece of paper into my pocket.
What did the lieutenant tell you about the bug?
Oh, he didn't think it was anything very special.
He must have looked at him in the dark. He didn't feel how heavy he is. You take him somewhere else, Mr. Will, and they'll tell you he's solid gold.
I don't care about the beetle anymore. It's that parchment you wrapped him in. That's what's going to lead us to Captain Kidd's treasure.
By now, I didn't know what to think. I'd read about Captain Kidd and how he was supposed to have buried treasure all sorts of places, even Sullivan's Island.
So you see, Johnny, I would never have known about the cryptogram if you hadn't been so close to the fire.
Your dog pushed me.
All the more reason. It's destiny, don't you see, for you and Jupiter and me.
Well, I don't quite see how.
Oh, Johnny, it's a fortune, millions in gold and jewels, and they're buried nearby. And we've got the clues to find them if we'll just go in the right direction.
Well, if you say so, Mr. LeGrand, what can I do?
You can help me solve the cryptogram.
But that's mostly a bunch of numbers, and I'm really not very good at math.
Well, you like books. You're good at English. What letter is the one that's most used in the English language?
Gee, I don't know. A or O or I. One of the vowels, I should think.
Well, find out. Ask your teachers or go to the library. I'll look through my books here and we'll see what we can figure out.
I was back next day with the information that the letter E is the one which appears most often in the English language, followed by A, O, I, and D.
Yes, yes, Johnny. That agrees with my transposition. The number 8 appears more times than any other number, so it must be an E. This semicolon turns up 26 times, so it's an O. We're on the way, Johnny. We're getting there.
I went back to Mr. LeGrand's house after school every day. And whenever I could, I spent the night there. We worked and worked at those figures and numbers till I thought it was hopeless. We didn't seem to be getting anywhere until all of a sudden, pieces of the puzzle started fitting together.
Here it is, Johnny. Now pay close attention. The cryptogram says, a good glass in the bishop's hostel in the devil's seat. 41 degrees and 13 minutes, northeast and by north. Main branch, 7th limb, east side. Shoot from the left eye of the death's head. A beeline from the tree through the shot, 50 feet out.
What language you talking, Mr. Will?
The language of gold, Jupiter. There you have the precise directions to lead us to the treasure.
But what does it all mean, Mr. Legrand? A good glass in the bishop's hostel?
Jupiter, you've lived around here longer than anyone. Was there ever a hotel on the island called the Bishop's Hotel?
You know better than that, Mr. Will. We're never any hotel around here. Nobody by the name of Bishop, neither. But if you said Bessop, well, there's a place called Bessop's Castle.
That must be it. Where is Bessop's Castle?
Of course, it isn't a castle at all. Bessop's Castle is nothing but a great big rock.
Perfect. We must go there, but not without following the first instruction.
What's that, Mr. Legrand?
A good glass. And I know your father has one.
A drinking glass?
No, boy, a telescope.
Oh, yes, he has a very good telescope. Jupiter led the way. Mr. Legrand carried the telescope, and I tagged along at the rear.
You mean to tell me that cliff is called Bessop's Castle?
Not anymore. That's what my daddy called it. He said ships could see it from way out.
In all this time, I've never climbed up this end of the island.
And you shouldn't be climbing now. A man like you who's been sick with a fever.
Oh, I'm fine.
I see now why they call this a castle.
I don't like the looks of that steep wall or rock.
Well, maybe there's some way to get around it.
Nothing but that ledge. And it looks worse than the sides of the castle.
Yeah, Johnny, you hold the telescope.
Got it.
I'm climbing out on that ledge.
Mr. Will, you plumb crazy for sure. Don't you do it.
I see something out there that looks promising. Will you come with me, Johnny?
Sure thing.
I hope you have a good grip on the telescope because we can't get along without it.
My pop would never forgive me if I dropped his telescope. Take it easy, Mr. Legrand.
Well, I'm all right. This is what I'm supposed to do, slide on the seat of my pants.
Is that what the devil's seat means?
Devils like to sit comfortably, and in this case, I believe there can only be one place to sit.
Well, I'm sitting on this edge of rock, and it's sort of like a chair.
That may be it, Johnny. Is the seat big enough for me?
Try it.
This is it. It's got to be. Only place anyone could sit down on this ledge, and it's facing in the right direction.
Did you bring your compass?
You bet I did. Now, hand me the telescope.
I wish I knew what you were doing.
Think, Johnny, think. We're following all the clues. How does our cryptogram begin?
A good glass in the bishop's hostel.
All right, here's the good glass, this telescope. And we've climbed to Bessop's Castle. Now, what comes next?
In the devil's seat.
And here I am. This has got to be the devil's seat. Can you read the points of the compass?
Well, I can try.
Try hard. Now, remember everything I've told you. We've got to get it right. The sun's in the east, so find your true north.
Oh, that's easy.
Now, this part gets harder. 41 degrees and 13 minutes.
Yes. Yes, and you told me how to find northeast by north. I'd say the direction would be exactly there.
By golly, you're right. I see a tree, a tall tree. That's what we're supposed to find.
Well, there certainly aren't any trees right around here.
This one must be a mile away. But that's our next destination.
Mr. Legrand, do you honestly think we're getting close to the treasure?
I was never more sure of anything. Each piece of the puzzle is fitting neatly into the next.
Mr. Will, I simply don't understand you. One minute you say we're going to dig, and next minute I'm supposed to climb a tree.
One thing leads to another, Jupiter. Gets more interesting every step of the way. And the sooner we take the next step, the better.
Does that make you curious? Or do you already know how the story turns out? In any event, I assure you the best is yet to come. It's very ingenious the way this cryptogram works. I always like the sound of those words, a good glass in the bishop's hostel in the devil's seat. Well, we found out what that means. But what is it leading up to? That all-important tree will play a leading role in our last act, which begins shortly. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
They're all wet.
If you've ever seen one of those old maps which supposedly points out the way to pirate treasure, you'll realize how important it is to follow directions very, very carefully. As you know, when you're telling time, a minute is the 60th part of an hour. Well, when you're reading a compass, a minute is the 60th part of a degree. Mr. LeGrand, accompanied by Johnny, Jupiter, and the dog, is confidently leading the way. He's attached the gold bug to a string, which he swings back and forth. Johnny is carrying two shovels, and Jupiter is wielding a scythe to cut through some brambly bushes.
Oh, mighty thick undergrowth over here, Mr. Will. Do we have to go in this direction?
Only way to get to the foot of that tree.
There's sort of an opening over there.
Good.
Wow! That sure is a tall tree. What kind is it, Mr. LeGrand?
That's a tulip tree. Very hard wood. Sometimes they grow 100 feet high. Jupiter, you used to be a master of coconut palms. You think you could climb this kind of a tree?
I can climb any kind of tree that grows.
Then up you go and take this with you.
The bug? Mr. Will? The gold bug?
What else?
Why should I take that evil bug up into a tree? I'm not going to do it.
You surprise me, Jupiter. I do believe you're afraid.
What do I care about an old bug? It's just that climbing would be easier, and the whole thing seems silly.
Trust me, Jupe.
Do you want me to try, Mr. LeGrand?
Jupiter's the only man I know with the skill to climb that big, smooth part of the trunk before the tree branches out. Yeah, look at him go.
I made it to the first big limb. What do I do now?
Get up to the largest branch, the one on this side, and pay attention to what I say. Look down the trunk and count the limbs below you on this side. How many limbs have you passed?
1, 2, 3, 4. I passed 5 big limbs on this side, and now I'm on the 6th.
Then go 1 limb higher.
That's just what the cryptogram says. 7th limb, east side.
I'm up here on number 7. Now what do I do?
Now, Jupe, I want you to work your way out on that limb as far as you can. If you see anything strange, let me know.
I'm scared to slide out on this one. Feels rotten. But maybe I can vent out a little ways.
Slide out on that limb as far as you dare. With the beetle.
I'm doing it, Mr. Will. I'm most out to the end.
Out to the end?
Oh, Lord of mercy. There's something here that don't belong in this or any other tree.
Well, what is it? Tell me. Tell me, what is it?
A skull.
A skull?
How's it fastened to the limb? What holds it on?
Why, this here's a very curious circumstance. There's a great big nail in the skull that fastens it onto the tree.
Very good. Now, Jupiter, do exactly as I tell you. Find the left eye of the skull.
That's funny. There's no eye in the skull.
That'll do from you. Find the left eye hole on that skull. Got it?
I know which one it is. What do I do about it?
Let the beetle drop through the hole, but only as far as the string will reach. Be very careful not to let go of the string.
Well, that's easy. I'm putting the bug right through the hole. Look out for him down below.
Hang on to the string, Jupiter.
Say, the gold bug looks alive swinging through the air like that.
It's your turn now, Johnny. Clear a space on the ground right below where the bug is hanging.
Following directions, I cleared a circular space about 4 yards in diameter while Jupiter stayed in the tree and Mr. LeGrand gathered some sticks. Then...
Okay, Jupiter. Now's the big moment. Let go of the string. That's our spot. Thanks, Joop. You can come down now.
About time. I thought you'd forgotten me.
What can I do, Mr. LeGrand?
Hand me that stick, and I'll pound it into the ground in exactly the spot where the gold bug fell.
Do you need another one?
No, not just yet. Now, help me with this tape measure. We'll fasten it to the tree at the point nearest the peg in the ground.
It's good to be back on the ground.
Great job, Jupiter. But there's more work to be done by all of us. I'll measure off 50 feet with the tape, and you and Johnny clear away the brambles in the direction I'll be walking.
Aye, aye, sir.
46, 47, 8, 9, 50. Is the tape measure tight?
Couldn't be any tighter without breaking.
And now, Johnny?
I know what you want this time, Mr. LeGrand. Another stake. I'll drive it in for you.
Thank you.
What next?
Now we make another circle, same as before.
4 yards across?
About 4 feet should do it this time. Here, each of you, take a shovel and start digging.
Mr. Will, there ain't nothing here but a great big hole in the ground.
But we did everything right. We followed all the directions.
I'm tired. I don't think I can dig anymore.
There's got to be here.
I think your fever's come back. It's time to go home and get you to bed.
We'll go home, all right. But nobody's going to bed until we figure out what went wrong.
Jupiter cooked us a good dinner, and I was falling asleep in front of the fire. But Mr. LeGrand kept walking back and forth, keeping me awake.
We had to be, right. We had to be. You know what the words say, Johnny?
What words, Mr. LeGrand?
Captain Kidd's words, of course.
Northeast and by north.
You found your tree, Mr. Will. I think that message was just a trick. Some smart aleck climbed up and put that skull there and wanted someone to see how clever he was.
Neither one of you takes me seriously. Shoot from the left eye of the death's head.
That's just what I did. Straight down, kaplunk, with that jinx of a gold bug.
Jupiter, it's your fault.
Oh, please, Mr. Will.
Tell me, Jupiter, which is your left eye?
This one.
You scoundrel, you idiot. No wonder we got off on the wrong track.
I told you, I'm tired, Mr. Will, and I'm left-handed. I mean, this one is my left eye.
That's better. But how can I be sure that you put the beetle through the left eye of the skull?
I did just what you told me.
Yeah, but the skull was nailed to a limb.
That it was.
And you were sort of on top of it.
That I was.
Uh-huh. Confound it, why don't we ever have any writing paper around here? I'll use this blank page at the back of a book.
Here's a pencil, Mr. LeGrand.
Now, here's a skull that I'm drawing. Not a beetle this time.
That looks like a skull, all right.
I'm drawing this for Jupiter. Hey, Jupe, now pay close attention. Look at this skull.
I'm looking. Well, those are mighty big eye holes. Just like the ones up in the tree.
Now think about it, Jupe. Think hard. Which hole in this skull did you drop the beetle through?
Well, that one. On the left-hand side. Just like you told me to.
Sure, Jupe, that's your left-hand side, but it's the right-hand side of the skull.
You got me all mixed up.
You were wrong. This is the left eye of the skull. We're going back.
Back to the tree?
Exactly.
We're not going to do any such foolishness in the middle of the night.
What better time? Now hurry up. We'll need lanterns and a pickaxe and a spade for each of us.
I was wide awake now. And so was Jupiter. We'd all forgotten how tired we were.
Hold up your lanterns. We're almost there.
Mr. Will, I'll tell you one thing for absolutely certain sure. I'm not going to climb that tree in the black of night.
I wouldn't want you to. No need for any more climbing.
Well, then how are we going to find...
We're changing our calculations. Jupiter, if you'd dropped the bug through the real left eye, the bug would have fallen about 3 inches in this direction.
That means 3 inches to the west.
So now, All we have to do is move our peg over 3 inches. Like this.
It's craziness, Mr. Wheel. Plum craziness.
Here, Johnny, take the tape measure and we'll pace off another 50 feet.
It was surprising what a difference that 3 inches made when we had paced off our new distance. And then Mr. LeGrand set us to work with a new circle, somewhat bigger than the first one. And we all started to dig. Once again, it seemed hopeless. But at least we didn't have the hot sun on our backs. Just the flickering lights of the lanterns.
What is it, boy? Someone coming?
And then the big dog jumped right into our hole and started clawing the ground.
Hey, he's found something. Wait. They're bones. Human bones.
Mr. Will, we shouldn't be digging up a grave.
This is no ordinary grave.
Look what I found. An old knife. And here, look, some coins.
This is not what I expected.
But just look. This is an old button. I always did want to find something buried in the ground.
Nothing unusual about an old Spanish knife and a few copper coins. And if this is, after all, just a grave, I have no wish to rob it. Hey, don't hurt yourself, Johnny. What's the matter?
I caught my foot in something. Like a metal hook.
What? Help me down there. We found it. We found it. Keep digging.
And there it was. A box 3.5 feet long and nearly as wide, with 3 iron rings on top.
It's beautifully preserved, but too heavy for us to pull out of the ground.
Would you dare to open it, Mr. Will?
Would I ever? Let's find out how.
Look, there's a bolt on this side of the lid.
And another on this side. They don't even look very rusty. Pull hard. Now, all together, let's see if we can push up the lid.
I don't want to see any more skeletons.
Push. Now, pull. Give it everything you've got.
After that one gasp, our friends were temporarily speechless. And who wouldn't be? For inside that chest were heaps and heaps of gold coins. And that's not all. There were 110 diamonds, big ones, 18 rubies of remarkable brilliance, 310 emeralds. Besides all this, a vast quantity of solid gold ornaments. The entire content of that chest was estimated at $1.5 million. I'll be back shortly. I recommend that you read this remarkable tale by Mr. Poe. One of the most interesting things is that cryptogram which led to the treasure. See if you can work it out by yourself, on paper. Who knows? Someday, walking along the beach, you might find an old piece of parchment with some strange-looking figures. The cast included James Debus, Gordon Heath, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.